The Freedom Fiends are the most popular state, most popular show in the Tri-Yard area. And I am your lead singer, Mr. Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, lead singer of the Freedom Fiends. On the other end of the inner tubes, we have two people tonight. It's been a whole week of three-way shows. We've been stacking up the third wheels here, stacking them up like cordwood. And that's something at least one of our co-hosts is doing this week, getting ready for winter. And we got Mr. Chandler St. Pierre, the crazy coon cat. What are you this week?
The crazy coon cat.
Yeah, man.
The Fiends drummer.
Yeah. Okay. And you're there in the woods in Maine. And all the way over on the other coast from the Pacific Northwest, the noble Pacific Northwest, we have Mr. Nick Hazelton, the yakety yak. What are you, Nick Hazelton?
I'm the hazy yak.
There you go. And he is a yak farmer, and he is a friend of ours who is getting high school credit for being on this show. Is it past your bedtime? No, it's like 10 where you are, huh?
Yeah.
If you're on the East Coast, I'd say it's past your bedtime, because it's one.
It's past my bedtime, man.
There you go. There you go. So, what do you want to discuss, gentlemen? You can start there, Chandler.
Well, I have a friend on Facebeefs who...
Facebook? We call it Facebeefs, so if, in case you don't know.
He's a nice guy, very intelligent, likes to work outside of the system. You know, he refuses to use a social security number. He calls it a slave ID and all that, which I can appreciate. But
does he have one?
Oh, well, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, it'd be pretty hard to not have one in America these days.
Yeah, it is. And I appreciate what he's doing, you know, trying to work outside the system and everything. But he's really been picking a fight with anarchists lately.
You darn anarchists.
And
anarchists can mean a lot of things too. To a lot of people, it means crazy, violent people who blow things up. To a lot of people, it means people who want chaos. You know, to a lot of people, the idea. To a lot of people, it means basically when people hear the word anarchy, a lot of people think that means civil war. It actually means a lack of tyrants, a lack of leaders, and people who call themselves anarchists, there are different types of people. Generally, the two main camps are ANCOMs, which are basically communist anarchists, and then there are anarcho-capitalists, which are basically libertarians taken all the way to the natural conclusion of, you know, no masters. It's kind of like it's like anarchism, but you get to keep, if you like your stuff, you can keep it, you know. And I have a lot of respect for them. I have some respect for the other kind. And the thing is, like, the idea of... I've said on here before that I'm an anti-communist. That's a really amorphous term. And what I'd like to say is I don't want to live under communism. I have no problem if there were a stateless society. I'd have no problem with 100 people down the road putting a wall around themselves, figuratively or literally, and sharing all their stuff. I just don't want to be a part of it or have to pay for it or have to live under it. The thing is, people who called themselves anti-communists classically generally thought communism was a disease that would spread in every situation. And during the Cold War, it largely was, but, you know, so was democracy in the sense of we're going to bomb you into democracy. So, and anarcho-communists, it's kind of funny. They don't believe in property rights, but they hold on to the term anarchism like it's some kind of valuable resource to own, which is very contradictory. They don't like anarcho-capitalists using the term anarchism. Ron Paul is a fan of anarcho-capitalism. He's not quite there, but he's a fan of the idea. So go on. There, I had to give some backstory for people listening on the radio who've only heard the media's lies about these terms. So go ahead, sir.
Well, it's funny that you should mention the violence and lawlessness aspect, because that's what got me into this discussion on Facebook. It was a Black's Law Dictionary, I think the 7th edition.
Oh, no.
And the definition was basically, you know, people who ascribe to lawlessness and use violence to gain their political agenda, which is supposedly anarchism. And a lot of...
Wait, the term anarchist is defined in Black's Law Dictionary?
Oh, yes. But the interesting thing is, and I've had this discussion with these folks before, it also depends on what edition you look at, because he used the 7th edition, which was in, I think the 1950s, 60s. And I have a Black's Law Dictionary 4th edition, which was in the 20s. And I also have a Bouvier's Law Dictionary, which is like in the 1800s. And the definitions, if you look them up, you can see them progressively changed to a more negative outlook on anarchism and a more generalized outlook. So this guy, he started off by bagging on anarchists, and he collectivized them. He didn't distinguish between the different groups. Now, one of the things I and a few other people brought to his attention was, yes, there are a lot of different types of anarchist groups out there, like you just mentioned. But I tried to describe to him the point that you can have a government under anarchism, but it has to be voluntary. It can't be coerced.
Yeah, well, basically, the thing that really defines there whether it's voluntary or not is if you're allowed to opt out without leaving your geographic region. And most people who want any kind of government don't want you to be able to do that. I believe that in the absence of an organized, coercive government like we have, of where you must pay your taxes, you must do this, you must do that, you know, for nanny things, basically, you know, people should not murder, steal, kill, rape, coerce, fraud, commit fraud, etc., like real actual crimes. But I believe that in the absence of a government, after there was an initial bloody period of people that didn't want to work for a living, being shot, trying to commit home invasions, you know, and people say, well, in anarchism, there'd be blood in the streets. Well, there might be a little bit for the first couple, 3 weeks or so, but overall, in the long run, there'd be a lot less violence committed than there is by all governments all the time now. But I believe that in the absence of a government like that, there things wouldn't be governments. They'd be more like services. All the things that you have now that governments do provide that's sort of a service, like, you know, the mail, the water, the clean air, the police, the roads, I think that those would be organized by like collection, you know, a group, like it'd be like picking your cell phone plan. You know, well, I have the AT&T. Well, I have the, you know, whatever. You know, and I don't think it would be those kind of corporations. I think it, because those kind of corporations wouldn't exist, because those are government-backed monopolies or triopolies or duopolies. So go on, sir. Sorry.
Well, the thing that really bothered me...
I'm not sorry, but go ahead.
The thing that really bothered me was when you look at this gentleman and a lot of his ilk on Facebook, when you look at their arguments, we're all talking about the same thing. We don't like the current way government is structured, okay? It's violence, it's empire, that sort of thing. And we all agree that it's wrong. So these guys want to get back to, you know, when the country was good. And they recognized that the Constitution was actually a coup by a bunch of lawyers, something we've talked about on past shows. So they even recognize that, and they talk about the validity of the Declaration of Independence and the Articles of Confederation. But when you start to say that we want no state, we want a stateless society, that's where they go awry. They're like, you can't operate and function in society without the rule of law. That's something that keeps getting thrown out there. And one of the points that I tried to convey to them is that you, even if you're in an anarcho-capitalist society, you still follow law. You know, it goes by tradition. It goes by, you know, following the non-aggression principle, customs and usage, all that stuff, natural law. But these guys just don't seem to get it. And it shocks me that we're striving towards mostly the same goals, yet they want to say, no, you have to be part of a nation. And they're state nationals, so they believe in like the whole independent, each state is an independent nation, kind of like the founding of the country, that sort of thing. And they just go on and on and on about it. And it just, I don't know, like they don't distinguish between the groups. And then
people have such a rose-colored glasses view of the past in everything, but particularly people that don't like the current government and want to go back to when things are good. You know, there's two periods they tend to either want to go back to. One is like the Leave It to Beaver 50s, which weren't even like that, you know, from like the end of World War II to the beginning of the hippies. Like that's the period when America didn't frighten old people. Or they want to go back to, you know, right after the Revolutionary War. And right after the Revolutionary War, I mean, first of all, you know, it wasn't really just a collection of states where every man could be free and own his you know, acres and build it up and have a capitalist society. It was more like, you know, first of all, it was whites only. Second of all, it was like whites only who had been born into it. It was kind of like, you know, what they left in England. Thirdly, you know, the founders were far from perfect and kind of very tyrannical. I mean, George Washington murdered war vets who'd fought with him against the British a few years earlier in the Whiskey Rebellion because they didn't want to pay a tax, and he wanted them to pay a tax on whiskey because he was a whiskey grower and wanted a monopoly or wanted to, you know, snuff out the competition. Thomas Jefferson said some great things, wrote some great things. He owned people. How can you be a bastion of liberty when you own people? Secondly, people say, well, it was a Christian nation. Thomas Jefferson was a deist. I'm a deist. We're going to talk more about that later. Basically means you believe in God, but you don't believe in miracles. Thomas Jefferson took a razor blade to the Bible and cut out the parts he didn't like and republished it. That is shocking to most Christians. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even do that, but he did that. And
he was president. So
yeah, he was president. He also owned a Quran and liked it. You know, yep. He was not a Muslim, but he owned a Quran and liked it. In fact, the one Muslim member of Congress swore in, instead of a Bible, he swore in on Thomas Jefferson's Quran. So I'm not making this up that he had a Quran and liked it.
Well, the other thing that really gets me is he said, well, I'm going to start arguing now since there's no real anarchists on Facebook, implying that because we use social security numbers and the system's at hand that we are not really.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back this trip to the free market. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. Worms, worms, worms. The people listening at home don't get to hear what goes on the breaks, but the show doesn't stop. We just keep yakking, and we forgot. I'll admit it. I was wrong, and this is... I'm not wrong. I wasn't wrong, but we were yakking and didn't have the music coming up loud enough to notice it. And this is a teaching hospital. We're trying to build the next generation of yakkers, liberty yakkers. So I point out when I make mistakes instead of trying to hide them. I actually made a mistake. Yeah, everyone makes mistakes, but it's better to admit them. I made a mistake the other day. I'm still trying to determine if it's actually a mistake and to what extent. But we were talking about the Stefan Molyneux situation, or as I've dubbed it, Mollygate, which is this guy, Stefan Molyneux, being sued for. Anyway, you can go to trueshibes.com and get the whole detail. I'm not going to ramble on that all night again. TRUSHIBES.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. Trueshibes.com. I said the other day that the only cases that can become precedent are cases that go to an appellate court. And Stefan Kinsella wrote me and said that may not always be true, but, you know, with law, there's never a yes or no of it's this way or it's that way. And then I ran this by Randy England and ran it by my wife, who's a paralegal, and then ran those results back past Kinsella. And then Kinsella wrote me back. I got it like a half hour before the show when I was getting ready. I haven't even had time to delve into it, but let's say that precedent is formed mostly by appellate courts with an asterisk and to be determined later. Let's just call that does 1 through 50 of my final decision of what I'm going to say on the air about this, because it's not always that definite. Now, this brand of people you're talking about, Chandler, who are kind of sovereign citizens, would you say that?
No, actually, okay. That was one of the big points when we were discussing this topic on Facebook. They ridiculed sovereign citizens even more than we do.
To be fair, I don't think sovereign citizens, I don't ridicule them for the same reason that leftists would of, you know,
exactly.
They think they shouldn't have to pay taxes. They're silly. I don't think anyone should have to pay taxes. I just don't think there are magic words you can use in court that the judge will suddenly go, oh, you've given the secret handshake. I have to let you free. And I also think that in my experience, a lot of sovereign citizens, instead of going to law school, they have a copy of Black's Dictionary Pocket Edition, and they have a copy of the uniform. What is the UCC uniform?
Commercial code.
Yeah. And they think they're lawyers. And
right.
People who think they're lawyers are far more dangerous than people who will say, I don't know. And I will say, I don't know. And I don't know, even after talking to like, you know, two and a half good attorneys.
Well,
and I mean, two good attorneys and a paralegal who's like, you know, does things that are almost at the level of an attorney in her daily work all the time. So,
well, the thing that both these sovereign citizens and these state nationals fail to realize is they can quote law, they can cite principles of natural law, commercial law, and everything. But once you get into the court systems, it's their system. And
yeah,
it doesn't matter how correct legally you are. You have to abide by their rules and their decisions, and they can totally railroad you. And that's the thing that they don't really. And one of the memes he posted that really bugged me, he said, it's a meme that says sovereign anarchist philosophy, philosophical fallacy number 245. Government is a fiction. It really doesn't exist. Well, we never say that government doesn't exist. We just say that it's immoral.
Oh yeah,
that whole thing of like,
you know, when the United States became a corporation with the 14th Amendment or the 12th or the 13th Amendment and 14th, thank you, and that like, you know, it was another coup and secret words can be used to undo that coup and you can, you know, just fallacies like that you can write checks against your birth certificate in all caps and not pay your debts. I mean, that stuff, that's as loony to me as like astrology or unicorns.
Well, and it'll get you thrown in jail.
Yeah, astrology again. And unicorns won't.
Right. I mean, again, whether or not there's some sound legal principles in that, you try to bring that stuff up in court and guess what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You're going to go to jail.
Yeah, and the thing of people representing themselves in court, I mean, we have an attorney who, Randy England is an attorney and he's one of the co-hosts on this show sometimes. And he is an attorney who makes his living as an attorney, and he says that he doesn't think that attorneys should require licensure, but they do. That's the thing. And he, you know, he's like anybody who thinks that, the thing is too, like an attorney knows everything, you know, things about procedure in court and filings and deadlines and things that the average person really would be hard pressed to learn and know.
And that's the big key right there.
Yeah. We'll be back. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Good evening, St. George, Utah. This is the Freedom Fiends. That's one of the stations we're on. I like it. I like St. George. Been through there a bunch. It's pretty cool. Yep. We're also on in Sarasota, Florida at night. and Cairo, Illinois, Paducah, Kentucky. And in the second hour, we come on in Sundance, Wyoming, and Belle Fouche, South Dakota. But we'll welcome them when we get there. We just want to welcome everybody listening to the Freedom Fiends, all the late night weirdo, cool insomniac. You know, I like doing the nighttime show more than the weekend show because I'm up at this time anyway. The weekend show, I actually have to set an alarm for. It's at 11 a.m. my time instead of 11 p.m.
And so you're one of those nighttime weirdos, huh?
Yeah. And we're on a lot more stations on the weekend. So I don't, if we weren't, I would just pass it off to you guys and just do the nighttime shows. But I like the nighttime show more because I think people's brain waves are a little more receptive at night to interesting ideas. And I think the people who are up listening to the radio at night are a little more suggestible and interesting than the day walkers. All right. So Chandler, what do you got?
Yeah. So, again, one of the arguments that a lot of these folks that we're talking about use is
sovereign citizens.
Well, the sovereign citizens and the state nationals and those folks, they'll say, well, you still use a slave social security number and you still work within the systems and everything. And okay, yep, a lot of what anarcho-capitalists discuss is theory, but you know, back in the 1800s, it was theory to say, you know, we don't need slaves to pick the cotton. So just because we're using the systems available to us at the moment doesn't make us any less legitimate. And a lot of the times they'll say, well, you're just cyber anarchists, basically meaning that
you live in your mother's basement and just practice your life philosophy on the internet.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is not true. I mean,
I live in my own basement.
Me too. I like my basement. It's got my wood stove. It's nice and
warm. Yeah.
And that argument is kind of interesting because it's an ad hominem argument where they criticize anarchists to somehow dismiss anarchy.
Explain the ad hominem argument.
Well, it literally means to the man. So it's basically just insulting somebody in order to somehow
win the argument.
Win the argument, to show that their ideology or their idea is wrong.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
Yeah, there's a lot of logical fallacies, and that is one of the main ones. There's also the red herring. And what are some of the other ones? Straw man. Red herring, straw man, and ad hominem are the most common. Ad hominem is like, you're stupid. Straw man is where you build a fake impression of what they're talking about and attack that, like a straw man, like you'd use for bayonet training back in the day. You know, like if someone says, I don't think there should be any government, and the person says, you just want babies to starve and 4-year-olds to work in houses of prostitution, and they attack that argument, and you're like, I never said that, and that wouldn't happen.
That's what I find a lot happens to us a lot of times with these folks, is they say that we're building straw man arguments.
Oh, and then, people who use logical fallacies often accuse others of the same logical fallacies. And the other one is the red herring, which comes from the idea of training a scent dog to ignore thing, you know, other smells. Like basically the rabbit runs off this way, and then before the dog gets there, you take a dead fish and drag it diagonally across the path to see if it'll make the dog go off in the wrong direction. Yeah. So the red herring argument is kind of a misdirect.
Well, one of the things that really gets me with a lot of the state nationals folks, not the sovereign citizens, but the state nationals, they'll point to like the militarization of the police, and they'll say that we being anarcho-capitalists assert that this is government, and they'll say, this is not government. It's political slavery and warfare. Well, okay.
Yeah. Fine. But
isn't that the natural evolution of government? And they'll say, no, government should protect the rights of the individual.
I almost wonder if this whole sovereign citizen thing and states' rights, fantasy kind of stuff, fantasy state rights, states' rights, fantasy football, And some of this has bled over into the Republican Party, too. The ones that say they're small government but really aren't. You know, when they're running for office, they sound like anarchists, but they forget all that as soon as they get elected or reelected. I often wonder if this whole kind of thing was actually a government plot. Now, there's a conspiracy theory for you. You know, was the sovereign citizen movement and the states' rights movement invented by the government at some point to send people chasing their tails down squirrel holes and not be able to get together and do anything and be, you know, to where the point where, I mean, I'm picturing this vision of like, you know, that iconic photo of the protester standing in front of the tank in Tiananmen Square in China, mm-hmm. It's a great picture. And it's like a great symbol of, you know, standing up to something that seems untoppable. And the thing is, that guy didn't get squished. What happened was he didn't stop the tank. They stopped the tank for a minute and they disappeared him. Like, soldiers came out, grabbed that guy, and he was never heard from again. Like, they never found a body. His family doesn't know. He's probably still being tortured in a work camp somewhere in China. But, you know, I have this picture of, like, somebody standing against a bear cat when they come to take their guns. And, like, you know, one of these police militarized tanks with wheels, like, standing there holding up a copy of Black's Law Dictionary.
You can't do this.
I know. I really do.
Well, you know, and I would agree in theory that that is not what government should be. But what seems to bother me the most is these people don't understand the natural evolution of government. Sure, they may say it's us individuals, you know, locally acting together to assert our rights.
No, it always ends up to like increasing to more and more power until you have North Korea. There's no way to like tinker with the law and make things better. I actually had like a guy I know a couple, like 4 years ago, call me up and say like, we're organizing a meeting to have a constitutional convention. Like literally there was a movement in America like 5 years ago to like restore the Republic by, you know, getting a bunch of states together, and that wouldn't work. And,
it's actually very dangerous.
Yeah. Because it can end up with, less freedoms, and also they can just, you know, shoot people and blackball people who do that kind of stuff. I mean, I really think I think the way to get out from under all this stuff is to educate as many people as possible to not put faith in tyrants with pens backed by guns. You know, I really do. I think it's educational. I don't think you can shoot your way out of it. I don't think you can. And we like guns, you know. I just don't think you can have another American Revolution when they have drones. I don't think you can shoot your way out of it. I don't think you can scribble stuff down on paper. I don't think you can use magic words. I think it's really like educating people to just withdraw consent, you know, and that doesn't mean don't use a social security number. That means, you know, don't cheer when the guy down the street gets busted for pot, you know, like treat everything like a violation of freedom, even if it's not a freedom that you believe in, because the people that they've trained for the drug war are the same people that are going to come for our guns.
Yeah. And it just bugs me that I think a lot of our goals and principles are the same, and these people will argue with us about minutia, and all we're preaching is voluntary cooperation among individuals, and that's not lawlessness. We recognize the necessity and importance for law, but that law stems from the non-aggression principle. That law stems from natural rights, common law, whatever you want to call it. They just don't seem to get that.
I saw the zaniest collection of things that make me go, really? In one comment on a thread recently, is one person, he was wanting to get back to the Republic, to where it was good, restore the Republic through legal meanderings. He was using sovereign citizen idea methodology to do it, and he was racist. It was a guy who wanted to restore the Republic to when there was slavery, and he wanted to do it by filing papers in the International Court in The Hague. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Well, yeah, it's because they believe that if we follow the law of nations and international law, that's a road to freedom. And it's like, but
this guy wanted to use it to go back to like owning people too. And
yeah,
you know, none of that would be approved by the International Court in The Hague.
Well, and you know, another thing I've noticed, and I'm I'm sure among some libertarian circles, this is considered heresy, but I don't follow Ayn Rand and all of that.
Not me neither. What do you think, yeah. Nick? Nick, have you read her stuff?
I have read a few books, and I am definitely not a fan of hers at all. We don't need to get into deep philosophy, but
all right.
Well, yeah, and a lot of stuff that you'll see among these state nationals and sovereign citizen types is that all anarchists love Ayn Rand and follow her philosophy of
objectivism. That's a straw man. There you go. That's a straw man, and then also an ad hominem.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, man, I tried to read one of her books, and I was like, no. And I guess you know, I'm considering myself.
She was one of the first people to like boldly say to the masses some ideas of liberty. But first of all, I don't like her writing. Secondly, I find her really cold and calculating. Thirdly, it's really weird that a lot of like small government Republicans like her, because first of all, she was an atheist. And second of all, she was very pro-abortion. So, you know, when you're reading that copy of Atlas Shrugged, if you're a Christian small government person, keep that in mind.
Well, I'd like to point out that Ayn Rand actually is responsible for a lot of the anarcho-capitalist movement being started here in the States.
With Murray Rothbard, and her, and they worked together.
She was not an anarchist at all, but she kind of brought this idea of the objectivist school of thought with, and a lot of anarcho-capitalists do follow this in deeper philosophy. We don't agree with her in politics at all, but a lot of deeper philosophy with anarchism does follow Ayn Randian objectivism. And so she has some good tenets, I guess, but I don't agree with her in politics, and I'm sure you guys don't either.
You know what I don't agree with is philosophy. I'm on a war on philosophy. No, I'm really not, but it seems like these days, and there's a lot more of it now that's visible because of the internet, and I think it's a good thing that all us slaves can talk to each other now. And it does scare the government, but they're not really that scared because they have all the guns and all the power and all our money. And but the thing, and we talk about philosophical stuff all the time, but, and I want to expand on this more. I'm really tired of just talking to people who just define their life as this or that. And want to screech at people who don't have that same idea when we do have a lot of the same goals. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. When I needed a robust and secure home business computer network for my radio show, I hired QPG.us. QPG.us did a great job with a complex custom setup and did it remotely over the internet. Whether you have one computer or 1,000, QPG.us can set up your small business network, no matter where in the world you live, fast and at a reasonable price. QPG.us is a liberty-loving company that can also help you with networking, domain name registration, DNS, email, SSL, VPNs, and more. That's QPG.us.
This is Michael Dean, the Freedom Fiend. And I have a clarification from last night. It's not a correction. I said what I meant in the show, but I listened to it today, and it could be misinterpreted, so I want to clarify this. I said last night that I won't say my state rep, because I didn't vote for him. I don't vote. I don't believe there should be state reps. I believe they exist, unlike sovereign citizens. But the state rep for the imaginary geographical subdivision of the state of Wyoming, and I'll say the state of Wyoming, I think it exists in some way. It's not, it's a legal fiction probably, but it, you know, people agree that it exists. So, but the state rep from this district, I said last night that I know the guy and I've hung out with him and, we've gone shooting. And then I went on to talk about how he has a license from the city to exterminate feral cats. And he uses a high powered assault pellet gun, you know, cause you can't shoot a gun in the city legally. Except for emergency situations. So, you know, he uses this air gun with CO2 that's like, you know, it'll kill a cat. I said, I've gone out shooting with him. Then I talked about how he shoots cats. I don't go shooting cats with him. I wanted to clarify that underlined four times in all capital letters with exclamation points. I've gone out shooting metal targets with him. He goes out and shoots cats on his own. I would not have anything to do with that. All right. So I want to talk about how, oh, you got to,
when you said shooting metal targets, all I could think of was that's so brutal for Metalocalypse.
Well, I like targets that react. Like a lot of people like to shoot paper targets.
Yeah, I know.
But you have to stop and go out and look at them and see how you did. A metal, you know, a metal target that is strong enough to not shatter when you shoot it, swinging on little chains, when you hit it, it makes a ping and you can hear it. So, you know, they react, reactive targets. So I like reactive targets. But yeah, man, I hate philosophy. Do you hate philosophy, Chandler?
I love philosophy, just not Stefan Molyneux's brand of philosophy.
Yeah, we talked about him a bunch. If you want to learn more about that whole thing, go to trueshibes.com. That's trueshibes.com. You know, something I didn't mention about that guy is that he is, he's not only an atheist, he is an anti-theist. And those things get confused a lot because the anti-theists are so loud. An atheist is someone who does not believe in God, but it's often a negligible part of how they define themselves. Like, you know, the only time they even think about it is if someone says, do you believe in God? And they're like, no. An anti-theist is religious about bashing religion. Like they are people who will go and make 2.5-hour videos on YouTube, like Stefan Molyneux, bashing religion. Stefan Molyneux has actually said that if you teach your children Christianity, you are committing child abuse. So, yeah, that's kind of
ridiculous.
That is ridiculous, man. And I have total love in my heart for all the peoples of the world, except Stefan Molyneux, all the peoples of the world who, you know, whatever their beliefs are, their beliefs don't affect me or harm me. As long as they're not trying to legislate them against me, and as long as they're not going into war with innocent people over their religion, I have no problem with it. And we have listeners that are, you know, we have fans that write us and talk to us that are, you know, Catholic, Protestant. I don't know if there's any that are hardcore Jewish. Like most of the Jewish people I know are kind of agnostic, like not practicing, but I definitely know of practicing Protestants, Catholics, Muslim, a couple Muslims, a couple Quakers, Mormons, definitely have some Mormon fans, whole bunch of different kind of religions are into the fiends, and we totally dig them. And we also get hits on the internet from all sorts of places, like basically not every country in the world, but, you know, America, all of Europe, all of Eastern Europe, China, Japan, all over the place, man. And sometimes it's really fun because I'll see on the little map like Israel and, you know, one of the states that thinks the state is at war with Israel, like right next to each other. Like Syria and Israel, like someone from Syria and Israel listening to our show at the same time. I think that's pretty cool. I think that this show, The Freedom Fiends, I think we can solve the problem of war in the Middle East. I think we can bring peace to the Middle East, and I think we can bring world peace.
We transcend all borders.
We do, man. That's pretty specious to a lot of people to say this show can bring world peace, but hey, why not, man? Share with your friends and see what happens. Discuss it. We'll be back for hour two. Worms. Got a worms, Nick?
Worms.
Got a yak sound? All right, we'll be back.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Sundance, Wyoming. The other two places are in South Dakota. I think that actually reaches a little bit up into Canada, which is kind of cool. Freedom Fiends covering the globe, one rural area at a time. I am your host, Michael W. Dean, the lead singer of the Freedom Fiends. The Freedom Fiends are the most popular show in the Tri-Yard area. And we got Mr. Chandler St. Pierre coming from Maine. Hello, Chandler.
How's it going?
Good. And we got Nick Hazelton, the Hazy Yak, over there getting high school credit for being on a late night talk show with a bunch of weirdos. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. So, I want to finish up this I hate philosophy rant. I don't really hate philosophy. I just hate how these days everyone defines themselves really narrowly by this philosophy or that philosophy, you know. And I consider myself a libertarian and an anarcho-capitalist or an ANCAP. But basically that's kind of an anti-philosophy. It means I don't want anything to intrude on me. And I think society could organize itself without government guns pointed at your head telling you what to do. Do you guys agree with that?
I would totally agree. I think one of the biggest problems with philosophy is it's become very much like religion in the fact that it's pushed down people's throats and you're demonized if you don't go along with it.
I think it's
AKA
become very much
Stephen Molyneux.
Yeah, I think it's become very much like, I wouldn't even say religion, but I think it's gotten to the point where philosophy, you gotta have one. You know, like when people meet you and start talking to you, they kind of want to, one of the first things they try to do is pick around to find out what your philosophy is. And if you don't have one, they don't want to talk to you. And if you don't have the right one, they don't want to talk to you. Yeah. So Stephen Molyneux, he's getting sued by this lady, Jay Raven. You can go to trueshibes.com. That's trueshibes.com to learn more. We talked about him a little bit in the first hour. He's calls himself a philosopher. He could do that. You don't need a licensure or even you don't even have to have studied philosophy to be a philosopher these days, I guess. But yeah, he's an anti-theist, which is different from an atheist. I made this clear in the first hour. An atheist, you know, they're like, do you believe in God? They're like, well, I don't know. Probably not. No. But they don't think about it. It's not how they define themselves. An anti-theist is an atheist that wants to shove atheism down everyone's throat. They're almost religious about it. You know, to the point where they make two-hour videos like Stephen Molyneux talking about how you must be an atheist to be a logical person. And, you know, that guy has said that if you raise your children with religion, you are committing child abuse. That is the wackiest thing I think I've ever heard.
Well, you know, I was listening to The Fiends the other night when you played the clip that he talked about how during his wife is a licensed therapist and he kind of listens through the vents and comments. Working in the mental health field, I was totally appalled by that. That is so unethical and immoral. And I'm kind of wondering like why he would admit that on air.
Here's the thing. A bunch of people tried to contact me. You know, Molyneux has his army of people trying to protect his philosophy. And I said yesterday that if your philosophy is good, it doesn't need dirty tricks to protect it. But his followers use dirty tricks to protect it. And one is something that's called a concern troll. And do you guys know this term, concern troll?
I've never heard that.
It's interesting. As soon as I say it, you'll be like, I know that species of human. A concern troll is someone who believes strongly in something, but comes on forums on the internet that are discussing something against that thing and they know they'll get kicked off if they come in as a true believer. So they'll say things like, I'm not a fan of that guy, but I think you guys are approaching this wrong. Like, they'll act like they're concerned, but they're right. really just there to sow discontent or untruths. It's a really common tactic. And now that I know it, I'm like, I know that thing so well. I've seen it so many times. And every time we talk about Molyneux on here, you know, they know that if they come on and say, you're wrong, Molyneux is a great philosopher and you guys are big dumb heads for saying bad things about him, that I'm going to block it and I'm not going to approve it. And, you know, they're not going to be able to get the word out. So what they do almost every time is they try to post comments like, you know, they start with the same line. Like, I think Molyneux sits in his, you know, on his high chair, dispensing wisdom down to the masses sitting at his feet, and tells them, I could see the possibility that he does this, because when the same arguments come up over and over and over from people, you know, it seems like there's some kind of behind the scenes, I don't want to say conspiracy, but working together or being told what to say. And it's funny because Molyneux teaches truth. You know, he says, I believe in truth. That is the highest ideal. And he preaches, you know, that the value of your ideas should stand on their own. And then everything around him and a lot of what's coming out of him is seems very much the opposite. And this concern trolling comes up anytime you talk about Molyneux negatively on Facebook, on your own site, anywhere on the internet. You'll get a band of people jumping in. You know, a lot of them will say he's a great stand-up guy, and then the moderator who doesn't like Molyneux will ban that person, and then people will come in, it's probably the same person under a different name, and say, yeah, I'm no fan of Molyneux, man, but I think you guys are giving him too much of a hard time, or I'm no fan of the guy, but I think that you should look at the possibility that you may be wrong about blah, blah, blah. And I got five of those comments the other day, almost identically written from different people. Some of them from Tor, you know, hiding the IP address network. So it was definitely Molinites. And they almost all five of them within a couple hours said the same thing. They said, oh, come on, man. You know, you can't tell he was kidding about that. You know, I'm no fan of Molyneux, but I've heard that clip and he was kidding. He had to be kidding about saying he hides in the fence. Here's the thing. If he was, he's still crass to have talked about it. And I think what probably happened is he listened through the vents like he said he did and did not comment through the vents like the, you know, voice through the vent, but probably commented with his wife later. So if he was actually eavesdropping, that's immoral. But even if it wasn't, I mean, the whole rant was really disrespectful to his wife's practice. Now, here's the thing. I read on FDR Liberated Forum, which is FDR is not the stupid president. It's, in this case, it's Free Domain Radio, which is Molyneux's website. FDRliberated.com is a exposing Molyneux's, hypocrisy kind of site. And there are five or six of them. You know, when that many people devote their whole life to saying you're an idiot or wrong, or he's not an idiot, he's smart, but Molyneux's you know, he might be wrong if that many people think he's twisted. Yeah. But there was a thread on there about like proof with screenshots and stuff. He has actually edited out that segment of that podcast. And it looks like it was probably done a couple years ago around the time his wife was getting censured by her licensure board for promoting the idea of defooing, of leaving your family of origin, which is, you know, Molyneux's known for that. And he claims he only says to do that in extreme forms of abuse, but he secretly, you know, says it to everybody. We've interviewed people that were in his inner circle, and he has publicly said that all parents are abusive and that he's the first good parent in the world.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. As a parent, how do you feel about that?
It kind of angers me, to be honest with you.
Nick, as a teenager, how do you feel about that?
I think I've been raised pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm doing pretty good in all my areas, so I don't...
Good.
I don't see any problem with my parents.
Are you a fan of Stefan Molyneux?
No. But my dad is.
What?
Yeah, he recently started listening to Stefan Molyneux. I don't really know exactly what he thinks.
Be careful, man. He'll defoo you.
I teased him about it, and he I can't remember what he said.
How do you know? I think he probably just he listens to the fiends because you're involved with the show and like a good parent wants to know what his kid is involved with and heard us talking about Molyneux and probably went, well, I'm going to see for myself. Do you think that's it?
It might be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. I hope so too. You don't want to have to send your dad to deprogramming camp. So, I like this time of year. It's pretty out. What do you guys think?
I think fall is probably the most beautiful season, especially if you're like me and you live in New England. However, there's one problem.
What's that? Litter? What?
Yes.
Litter.
There is litter everywhere this time of year, and it's called political campaign signs.
It is litter, man. Ugh. It's literally, it's, you know, visually litter. It's clutter. It's something that, who wants to see that? You know, it's just a bunch of tyrants arguing over who gets to steal the money instead of the other tyrant. But it's also literally litter because they're supposed to go back and pick them up after the election, but they don't always.
No, you find that they linger and they linger.
You know who lingers is the losers. The winner will send someone out to collect their signs because everyone's all happy. But the losers, like, we lost and now I have to go pick up trash on the highway. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. And to somebody like me, it really does bother me because, one, I'm an anarchist and I don't condone that.
You're an anarcho-capitalist. Make that clear. You're not one of those filthy communists that breaks windows.
No, I believe in property rights and individual liberties. And I like to take pictures. In fact, I carry a camera around with me every day, and I'm on the road a lot.
You carry a gun around with you, too, don't you?
I do.
Just to let people know, you're a peace-loving guy with a sidearm.
Well, you should have a lot of tools in your arsenal. Cell phones, cameras, guns.
Don't leave home without them. Yeah, I don't leave home without them. I don't leave home. I stay in my windowless bunker, and I come out once a year to go to Pork Fest for a week with my wife, and if I see my shadow, we get 5 more years of tyranny.
Well, I hope you don't see your shadow this year.
Were you laughing, Nick?
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's it just bothers me. Like I said, I'm on the road a lot during the day, and I love to take pictures, and I'm really a nature guy. I love the outdoors. I love nature. I love its beauty. And it just bothers me to see this litter polluting the landscape, you know? And I had a conversation with a friend who feels the same way as I do. But, you know, they're like, oh, I just steal the signs and throw them away. It's like, well, I don't go that far because that's kind of going against property rights. But,
hey, it's
I wish they weren't there.
Yep. Nick, do you have that kind of litter up in Oregon where you live?
Yeah, we do.
I'm sorry. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Rock musical extravaganza. I feel like we're more like a rock band or like a gang. We're a rock band that when we hang out, we're like 12 armed peaceful weirdos all hanging out together. I like it. So we were talking about the lunacy of the voting process. You know, every vote, every election is just two millionaires arguing over who loves the common man more at the federal level. And at the county level, it's just people pushing the crazy cat spot button of think of the children. And those people really just, they get elected. They just take your stuff. If you think your government likes you, if you think that it's a good thing, they will take your house and murder you if it serves them. They'll take your house. It used to be to build hospitals and roads. Now they'll take your hospital. Now they'll take your land, you know, to put up a Walmart because they make more tax money on the land, or they'll take your land because you have too many classic cars sitting on it. That happened recently, not recently, but that happens in Wyoming a lot. And those people, they're just fighting over who gets to control you. And even the Libertarian Party, we're libertarians, but we are not Libertarian Party members. And I think the Libertarian Party should just fold and go home, because they were important in the 70s to kind of bring the ideas of liberty around. And I think at this point, they're just an embarrassment. They tend to run people that are really not very libertarian, man. The guy they tried to run in Wyoming a few years ago, I met him. He was a racist loon who said, "I'll admit it, I'm not a libertarian." You know, they'll just run whoever shows up at the meetings that says they'll run. And you know who ran as a libertarian for governor of New York was who's the shock jock guy, the most famous one?
Howard Stern.
Yeah, he ran for governor in New York. I think it was governor. It might have been like county commissioner of Long Island. I don't know what it was, but he ran under the Libertarian Party a bunch of years ago.
He's pretty hardcore liberal.
He's pretty hardcore. He's got aspects of libertarians, liberals, and conservatives, but mostly liberal. But he ran under like we need to strengthen the death penalty. Like I'm a libertarian. I want the state to murder more people. And I'm not against horrible people being taken off the earth by somebody if they're truly horrible. But the thing about the death penalty is, first of all, I don't like the idea of the state being in charge of it. I think the family should get to do it, the family of the victim.
Yeah, they should decide what the justice is.
Yeah. Really, there's no retribution, too. I think that, like, real retribution wouldn't be caging them for 20 years and then killing them in an electric chair. I think it would be making them come work for you, you know, for the rest of your life. But also a lot of people have been executed who were innocent, it turns out. And that's a really horrible thought. Because a lot of times in a heinous murder, the cops are under a lot of pressure to arrest anybody, somebody, you know, and they often, in their rush to look like they're doing their job, do the opposite of doing the job, which is arrest an innocent person. But the Libertarian Party up there in Oregon, what you got going on there, Nick?
Well, the Libertarian Party of Oregon is terrible and fractured.
But terrible and fractured. That should be their motto. Libertarian Party of Wyoming. Terrible and fractured.
Yeah, so they have this guy. I don't remember the guy's name, but he was the Libertarian candidate for governor this term. And he was running on a platform of banning pit bulls and throwing people in jail for smoking near kids. And
smoking cigarettes?
Yeah, just around them. It's pretty hardcore for, especially for a libertarian who you'd think would be completely anti-prohibition. And luckily, he did not get on the ballot, so nobody got to vote for him.
The thing is, people, libertarian's a kind of weird word. Some people confuse it with librarian. What libertarian actually means, it's actually a word that was created as an antonym to the word authoritarian. Libertarian is the opposite of authoritarian. So it's totally contradictory for someone to call themselves libertarian and be trying to enact nanny laws, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing about the LPO, Libertarian Party of Oregon, is on the ballot they list stuff for the party, and they list what the percentage of members voted for which ballot or which measure. And for where we have a measure to legalize marijuana here in Oregon, and one thing that that's something that the Libertarian Party, or at least libertarians, should be in favor for, but only 72% voted yes.
It's what they used to be known for.
But 28% didn't like that.
Anybody who wants to extend the war on drugs is a tyrant. I don't even take drugs, but I think that they should. It's up to you, man. Shouldn't be up to some bureaucrat with a gun.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Chandler's got his, what's your effects unit, brother?
The Lexicon MX-200. I love it, man. I have so much fun with that.
It is fun. And speaking of fun, is it hog slaughtering season there in Oregon, Nick?
I don't know if there is a season.
I'm kidding. But you are a farmer. You're 16. You're a member of 4-H, and you own some animals. What do you own?
I have a herd of 6 yaks.
Wow.
And 8 hogs.
Is the plural of yak, yak or yaks?
I think it's yaks.
Yeah. Now, see, a philosopher, one of these people on the internet that argues all day long about why they're right and you're wrong, would be really concerned with, you're saying it wrong, it's yaks, or it's yak. But they've never seen a yak. You own it, yaks. You're in charge of the care of 6 yaks. So that's cooler than knowing the philosophy of the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, definitely. It's one thing to do it and philosophize about it, right?
What are the challenges of yak ownership?
Well, yaks are very independent. It's kind of like being a government, actually. You try and keep them within the borders and give you what they want, right?
And you tax them their milk and fur and meat
and babies.
And babies. You started with 4 yak, right? Yaks.
I did. I bought 4 yaks. I bought 2 pregnant cows and 2 yearling bulls.
That's awesome.
And yeah, and this spring I will be butchering 1 bull. And I'll be keeping the other one for breeding, and I'll keep on building my herd.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that thing comparing different types of politics with cows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like capitalism. You have 2 cows. You know, you have a cow and a bull. You breed them. You make more. You sell this one. You make more. You end up with more. Everyone ends up with more. You know, socialism. You have 2 cows. The government takes 1 and gives it to your neighbor. Communism, you have 2 cows. The government takes both and rations out some milk to you. You know, fascism or Nazism, you have 2 cows. The government shoots them both and shoots you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd say that yak farming is more of a fascist thing, as you try and keep them.
Oh, it's not fascist. We talked about this yesterday about the, you know, animal care and control in liberty. Yeah, you're doing it right.
Yeah, so I have pretty much free range. The neighbors might think they're a little too free ranged, but I actually haven't had too many problems with them getting out on the road or anything. But they have a whole, it's about 6 acres to themselves. They have to share it with the mean billy goat.
Oh, yours or the neighbor's?
It's my sister's.
My sister's mean billy goat.
Yeah. He's an amazing creature. He attacked one of the yaks. He's been going at her for the last 3 days. And it's insane. You can't get close to an angry yak. And when they're battling a billy goat, I just do not want to get in the middle of that. So
you need to record that, put that on YouTube.
Yeah.
I actually have a video. I need to put it up. But they, man, it's just insane. Billy Goat, he's 3 times smaller than this yak, and he just keeps going at it. He just keeps headbutting her, and it's just crazy. I love that goat.
Well, that's but
he's so, you
know,
mean.
Goats are kind of symbolic for stubborn people. You know, they'll say stubborn as a billy goat, and I guess it has some basis.
Definitely. And he got, yaks can toss things, right? They got big horns and they just throw things. And he's been tossed so many times, and, you know, he gets knocked flat and he's back up at it again.
He gets knocked down and he comes back up again. You're never going to keep him down.
Yeah.
Do you have more on yak ownership there, Nick?
No, but I do have pigs too. I've got 8 hogs right now. They're American Guinea hogs, which are a small heritage breed pig, very popular for homesteading, and that's been pretty fun. They're also very hard to keep under control.
How much land do you need to raise one of those type of hogs?
It depends on what you're feeding them. If you're feeding them grain, then you don't need any land really, but I have them on pasture right now, and they have 7 acres available to them.
So you say you don't need any. Could I keep one in my basement?
Yes, you definitely could.
I don't think I will.
Don't do it. It'd be smelly.
Yeah, I was going to say. We my ex and her parents raised some hogs for us, and they were in the pen pretty much most of the time. So they weren't a lot of work, but yeah, that pen got a little smelly.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, cool. That sounds pretty neat. Speaking of things that sound good and neat, what do you got to say, Chandler?
So I came across a new program. It's called Jack Pilot. And if you go to jackaudio.org, you can download both the Windows, the Linux, and the Mac version. Now I'm running the Mac version. This is a really neat program because what it does is it routes your system sounds so that you can play them through, like we're connecting on Skype, okay? So I have a soundboard app, and I can play, you know, Howard Dean's scream like such. And
I got to say, no relation. Michael Dean is no relation to Howard Dean.
And we can talk to Ray Patterson and Homer Simpson.
You want to know what I think? No. Nobody wants to hear the nonsensical ravings of a loudmouth malcontent.
That should be the bumper for this show, but they'd probably get us for copyright infringement if we used it a lot.
Well, no, it's fair use if it's under 30 seconds.
Yeah, so you say, man. I've dealt with Fox. I am one of the few people who's done this and lived to tell about it. I have licensed a Simpsons clip from Fox for free. Now, here's the thing.
Really?
Fox rarely licenses Simpsons clips for pay, but I licensed one for free. It was from the Last Exit to Springfield episode of The Simpsons, the one where Homer goes on strike and tries to organize tries to get his union at the atomic power plant to get a better dental plan.
Yep, and Lisa plays classical gas.
Yeah, she does. And that scene where they're out, there's a couple scenes in there that are based loosely on scenes from the Hubert Selby Jr. Book and movie, mainly the movie, called Last Exit to Brooklyn. And I made a documentary about Selby called Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. And we got Fox to give us permission to use like 25 seconds of that for free. That's pretty awesome. Nice.
That is awesome. Yeah, so this program is really neat, and it has a lot of different uses. You know, I have the soundboard application where I can play different sounds, which, you know, when we do our podcast, it's kind of fun to do. But also, like, a practical application would be, say we're discussing something, a YouTube clip, for example, maybe Stefan Molyneux or something like that.
Always with the Molyneux.
Yes, and we want to play it. You know, it works because you don't have to hold your microphone to your speaker to hear the clip. You can just route it right through this Jack Pilot application, and you can play it right through your system sounds. It's very cool, and it's free.
Is there a physical component to it? When I looked at the website, there's a picture of a jack.
there is no physical component, and that is the beauty of this application.
That's kind of the weird thing about selling software, or giving, selling in the sense of getting people to want to use it, whether it's free or not. People always want to use physical, you know, like indicators of what it is. Like for Bitcoin, they always use a coin to the point where, you know, the TSA thinks Davi has Bitcoin in his luggage because he has some pins with a picture of Bitcoin on him. And people don't understand technology. A lot of people don't understand technology well enough yet. And, you know, sometimes it works in a really useful way. Like in a lot of audio editing programs, the interface mirrors a physical mixer or a physical tape recorder, you know, things.
It does. Well, we were talking earlier, you use SoundForge and I use Adobe Audition. And both of them kind of mirror that physical platform.
I can't imagine what they would look like if they did not, you know?
Well, I can't either.
And a lot of people, I mean, I grew up using, I'm soaking in it right now. I'm using a mixer right now. And I grew up using tape recorders. So the metaphors they use visually work for me. There's a whole generation coming up who've never seen a mixer or a tape recorder, especially, who use those interfaces well. I'm trying to picture like an abstraction of it. Like, you know, if it was just a bunch of zeros and ones or something, or, you know, like a map and you click on things on the map. I don't think it would be as easy to use.
It's not. And actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because if you use musical programs like I do, I actually talked to Nima about this quite a while ago. One of the musical programs I use is from Native Instruments, and it's called Reactor, and it's all mapping, and it's very, very hard to use. It doesn't have that physical interface. He liked to use Reason a lot, which I love.
It has very physical interfaces.
Yeah, it's a rack mount, and like to the point where you can flip it around and wire in how you want the sound to go. I mean, it's totally it's a digital representation of a physical.
I'm looking at a Reactor screenshot. It looks like an organization chart for a government.
It's horrible, man. I'm telling you, like, I'd stick to the presets because Reactor is so hard to use. I mean, my hero artist, Trent Reznor, that's one of his favorite programs to use is Reactor. But, you know, when we were talking about Reason, there's a couple of drum machines, and I understood how to use that in Reason because I actually had back in, I'd say 1994.
You had a Roland 808?
I wasn't an 808, but I can't remember the exact model. That's the popular one. But my buddy had an actual physical drum machine, and I'd play drums and everything. And I remember one night going out there and partying with all of them, and he's like, dude, check this out. And he sat me in front of this drum machine. I just sat in front of it for hours playing with it, you know, physically manipulating it. So that's one of the things I like about Reason. But this audio jack program is really cool because you don't need a mixer. In your wonderful tutorial, you posted a link to how to do mix minus.
That's the Freedom Fiends guide to podcasting. Yeah.
Yes.
On YouTube. What about it?
Well, you posted a great mix minus, which we'll come back to.
Yep.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is Mr. Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and that is the song that we're listening to. My God is Woman by my old band Slish. And we're going to talk about that song. Note the part that's going wah, 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 wah underneath, because we're going to talk about that. But go ahead, Chandler.
Yeah, so in the last segment, we were talking about how in your awesome video how to podcast.
Freedom Fiend's Guide to Podcasting. I will link it in the show notes. It's
yes.
If you want to do what we're doing, I tell you how to do everything so you don't have to make stupid mistakes and listen to stupid people who don't know what they're talking about, who are just trying to make a sale instead of telling you to get what you need.
Yes, and you're doing it all for free because you want to improve the sound of media.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a link for how to do a mix minus, which was very, very handy. It's a technique using a mixer and
We're soaking in it. We're doing it right now. Mix minus is having sounds going into a mixer and having different feeds coming out for different purposes. Like basically the music I made is being sent to me from GCN, from our network in Minnesota, but I can't send it back to them because it would echo. So It's coming to us. We're hearing it for our timing. But what we're sending back to them is just us talking. So that involves setting up different outputs with different mixes in a mixer, and that's called a mix minus.
Right. And one of the techniques that the guy in that video talked about was using a soundboard application, which is the application I used to play those sounds in the last segment. But he had them on his iPhone. And I was like, well, you know, I don't want to plug an external source into my mixer. I want to use it all from my computer, have it all at my fingertips. And through Googling and reading various forums, I came across that JackPilot program.
Okay, is it free?
It is free.
So are you saying that you could do a simple mix minus with a laptop with this without a mixer?
You could theoretically.
Okay, yes. Because is it open source?
It is open source.
What's the license? Is it GNU? Because because I was thinking of, for a later version of Fiend Phone, and we actually don't even have the beta or alpha version yet, but it's being worked on. I would love to be able to have a mix minus without a mixer, because if you had Fiend Phone and had a software mix minus, you could travel the world with a $50 mic and a cheap laptop and do a radio show from anywhere in the world and a pair of headphones.
Yep.
I'll have Derek look into this and talk to
you. Yeah, have him talk to me.
And you go over to his house. How far do you live from him?
I live about an hour away. He's awesome. He's right out in the rural parts of northern Maine. I love it.
Yep. No town names, just Maine. That's close enough.
Rural Maine.
The rural juror. All right. Yeah. So what else you got on this, brother?
So, well, you know, and this goes to illustrate the beauty of the internet and open source technology and how it makes the production and distribution of media so much more readily and easily available and easier to do.
Absolutely. And it is, it's the miracle of the free market. It is really, and the market is people. It's not some magic fairy dust somewhere in LibPair. It's people now. And the reason,
I think that's a point that needs to be driven home, because people don't understand that.
Yeah, especially when square politicians try to outlaw things on the internet or control things about computers, they are getting in the way of progress.
Yes.
Yeah, and computers have really shown, even though a lot of giant corporations have been involved, a lot of times the software that changes the world is written by individuals in their home, working alone or with other individuals across the internet. And it's really kind of this new frontier of being able to do world-changing things from your bedroom.
Yes.
You know, I mean, think about file sharing stuff, you know, which is, you know, in a way part, you know, the ability to share files with other people semi-anonymously. It's the free market in action. And the first program that did that was widely available, Napster, back in the day, was literally made by a 19-year-old in his dorm room to like share with his friends, and it ended up like, you know, kicking some big chunks in a really square old 100-year-old industry that was using old methodologies like copyright. And it cannot be stopped, man. Freedom and software and cats must flow, and they will.
Yes, and they will.
All right, thank you, Chandler St. Pierre, and thank you, Nick Hazelton.
Worms. Thank you, Michael.
Give me a worms, guys.
Worms.
Worms. Can I get that yak sound again, Nick? Do it again. All right. It's been a great Freedom Fiends, you guys. Thank you for your service.
Worms.